This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios, well, like three-fifths of the band, Horse Feathers. Justin Ringel is here along with Nate Crockett and Brad Parsons. Justin, welcome to Jefferson Public Radio. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks for having us.
The new record is called So It Is With Us. We'll talk about that here in just a bit. First, though, I want to congratulate you on a 10th anniversary.
Oh, thank you very much.
Band has been together now for a decade, and you did a very weird thing as a celebration of 10 years. You re-released early catalog, not on what you would think, vinyl, which is the kind of in thing to do.
Right.
A cassette box set?
Yeah, that's right.
Why?
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, it was our label's idea. Just because, in a weird way, cassettes have been kind of finding a new traction, and it's probably because of a lot of people, probably roughly my age, my generation, where it's like cassettes kind of have a type of familiarity and like a nostalgic value these days. I mean, they're just kind of becoming popularized in the same way that vinyl, like for my parents, when vinyl started to come back, they're kind of like, oh, great, this is awesome. But cassettes kind of have this new resurgence right now. And I just thought it was a cool idea. I actually listened to cassettes myself, and we were capable of doing more for a much cheaper cost. Like vinyl would be really expensive to do a re-release like that. So we were capable of doing all the records that I'd previously done on Kill Rock Stars, and then a bunch of bonus material, some weird B-sides and stuff that had previously just been on 7 inches. And
you did a really cool clear vinyl too.
That's right. Yeah. On the new record, we have some clear vinyl.
Yeah. You and the band, are all the members from Portland?
No. Only one band member is actually originally from Portland. I think everybody else is from, you know, we got some Oregonians, and two of us are from Idaho. But I've had, you know, there's been a long string of players over the years. I've had a bunch of band members from all different types of states and backgrounds. So
I'm glad you brought that up, because for many years, Horse Feathers was you and people playing with you, but it was kind of not really a solo vehicle, that wouldn't be fair to say, but primarily this was led by your musical ideas, your singing, your playing, and then you would collect some musicians to round out the sound. But the transition has really started to happen here with this new record, where it is much more of a full band sound. Was it as much of a full band production to create the new songs and record?
You know, yeah, I mean, the band, the idea of the band was definitely more, it was a bigger, much bigger piece than we previously had, just in the sense that we played with a rhythm section for the first time, like pretty much through the whole, almost the whole record, having a bass player and a drummer, and like accommodating my songwriting that I've been doing by myself for, you know, quite a while, and having it be represented that way on the record in a way, being pretty stripped down, was a very different experience than like actually tracking with a drummer and a bass player. You know, it was just a different flavor.
Justin and Horse Feathers are my guests live in the JPR studios. Their new record is called So It Is With Us. Information on the band and the record at horsefeatherstheband.com. In a way, we are lucky to have the new record. We'll talk about that in just a bit. First, I want to hear you play something. What do you want to start with today?
This first tune is called Belly of June. It's actually an old one off of a record called Thistled Spring.
Sad enough, she sadly sung. We're no longer young, lazy. light. Age makes us dumb, don't call to me. Paltering and pale, sin on your mind, dirt under your nails.
That is Horse Feathers live here on Jefferson Public Radio with a tune that goes back a couple of years to the album that came out, back in 2010, I believe, Thistled Spring. It's Justin Ringel, Brad Parsons, and Nate Crockett here in the studios. I mentioned before the tune that we're lucky to have this record. It almost didn't happen because you literally walked away from music for a while.
Yeah, I took a little breather there for a minute.
Why? What was going on?
Well, you know, it's not the music part so much as this, the doing it for a living part is kind of... just was starting to be just a little bit more, it was just getting weighty, we'll put it that way.
It's different when you do it at 24 and when you do it in your 30s,
exactly.
Right? And on and on.
You get older and it's like you can't, it's hard to make sense of it anymore, and it's moving at such a fast pace right now in ways that no one understands. And it's a vastly different industry than the one I started in like 2004, you know? So trying to reconcile that with like what type of cog am I in this machine was, you know, took a few months and, or a year, you know, and I still don't make any sense of it, but the only thing that I really was capable of changing was my perspective on it and just trying to get, a little bit more enjoyment out of the performance side of it was kind of my answer, and that fed into how I actually approached the recording of the music as well.
How did you first notice that you were getting close to being done?
In terms of stepping away from it?
Yeah.
You know, we did some touring in the winter of 2012. It was like the very end of Cynic's New Year, which is our record that came out in 2012, and we had done like some touring where we toured out to DC and then flew over to Europe and toured in Europe and then flew back to Denver and then toured that. And I just came home and I was just completely exhausted and was just so shredded, and it was just so difficult. And I hadn't taken a break from touring consistently since I started, really. And, you know, I just decided I needed to be home for a little bit.
I mean, I would imagine that when you were first putting this band together 10 years ago, 11 years ago, before you started making music professionally, music was something that you would do for fun. at some point along the way, I would imagine that when you got done from a recording session or mm-hmm. from a tour, the last thing that you would think about is going and noodling around on a guitar and making music for fun.
Yeah. That unfortunately happens, yeah.
Yeah. But you found it again.
Yeah. I mean, it just took a little breather, I think, to where you start to enjoy it differently, you know? And it's one of those things where it's like I recognized when I just got back from a tour and I put my guitar down in my house and I just wasn't inspired to pick it up, and I didn't have to for a period of time, and I didn't. And it was like the longest period of time that I'd done that in, I mean, maybe ever. Just even 2 months was like, it was crazy. I mean, and by the end of 2 months, I was like, I was kind of ready to, you know, jump back into it a little bit. It's a process. It was like baby steps coming out of there and trying to figure out what do you do next, you know.
And there was an interesting thing that I read that happened to you as a band, because you mentioned the tour that you were on where you went over to Europe and then you were touring in the States. And the touring, from the sounds of it, was actually going pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Record sales were going the other direction, but yet you were charting on Billboard.
That's part of the confusion, is I just couldn't make heads or tails of how it worked anymore.
Right, so does that mean you're doing well or not doing well?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that we had, yeah, the record came out and we'd sold the least amount of records we'd ever sold in our like debut week, but we charted on Billboard for the first time, which made absolutely no sense. And then we went on a tour that was our highest grossing tour and like our best attended tour ever, and came home and our record label's like, we're not selling any records. and so it's, I don't know what the takeaway is from that. And that also fed into why I was just kind of like throwing my hands up in the air by the end of the year. I had no idea, you know, what to make of it all, you know.
Have you been able to wrap your head around it more now?
Only in the sense that I changed my perspective on it in a way that my expectations have been lowered quite a bit, because I don't, and really everybody's kind of like that in the music industry that I talk to now. It's, no one really knows exactly what qualifies success. Of course, there's money. I mean, money always does, but I mean, I don't think that is the best indicator all the time, obviously. And I don't know. It's just hard to say. It's also very confusing these days.
Yeah. Justin Ringel and Horse Feathers are my guests live here on Jefferson Public Radio. Their new record is called So It Is With Us. Horsefeatherstheband.com, the place to go for information on them and their music. A little earlier, we talked about how there is a bigger sound on the record. There is also a bit more energy on this new record. I want to talk about that in a bit, but first let's hear another tune. What do you want to do next?
All right. This next one is called Fit Against the Country, and this is a song off of a record we put out in 2012 called Cynic's New Year.
Comes with an ache in our knees, our hands got the shakes. Swear our back's about to break, but we won't howl out or cry. We know we'll fail if we try. In the middle, nothing asking why. Every night we all go to a house we never owned. Every night we are tired, we've been worked to the bone. Nearly every day we earn a lower wage. So tell you what we're made of, be just what we're paid. It's a hard country we made. Here we are, far beyond our means, learning how to trade love for things. There's a debt we can't pay. What kind of life's lived this way? And they see our hand, they raise, telling us the way how to pray. every day was a darker kind of gray. The color we all knew best was deepest shade of red. We'll never own. Every night we are tired, we've been worked to the bone. Nearly every day we earn a lower wage. So tell you what we're made of, or are we just what we're paid? It's a hard country we made. We won't howl out a cry. We know we fail, but we try. What kind of lives live this way? And they see our hand they've
That is Fit Against the Country. It's Horse Feathers live here on Jefferson Public Radio. As a reminder, we'll have audio from today's live session up on our website later today, www.ijpr.org. And remember, you can subscribe to our live sessions as a podcast on iTunes. Just search for JPR Live Sessions. Speaking with Justin Ringel of Horse Feathers, before the tune, I mentioned that there is a bit more energy on this record. I think that was an intentional decision when you rediscovered your enjoyment of music.
There
was a really interesting description of the sound of Horse Feathers from before the new record that I came across that said that the music of Horse Feathers is the direct opposition to the strummy histrionics of the Lumineers and Mumford & Sons. Is that fair?
Sure.
It was down-tempo.
Yeah.
Often.
Minor key.
Not so much now.
Yeah.
So what has happened?
Part of the thing of changing my perspective is I've started to find myself changing, I guess my tastes were changing personally in a way, and where very quiet minor key music just really wasn't wetting my whistle anymore in the same way. I wasn't finding that I wasn't compelled to make it the same way. Everything I'd done before was all very earnest and truthful. I mean, it was a mood I was in, and I just wasn't in that mood anymore. And I really wasn't enjoying that type of music, not only my own, but going to see it or listen to music and going to shows where I would sit down and close my eyes and, you know, try to have a listening experience. And, I just kind of felt that it was kind of the times were changing a little bit, so to speak. And that stuff, I also felt from our shows that people weren't quite as activated by that kind of thing. I think people were starting to, this is just my opinion about, you know, the larger zeitgeist, if you will, of everything, or just from observation. I just started to feel like, oh, okay, well, I think maybe it'd be nice to have more, play with more energy and get more energy from an audience. And I started to like kind of focus our live show that way. And we started to do that, and I started to feel a lot better. It started to feel like I was having fun again.
Because it comes back.
Yeah.
Right? It comes back from the crowd.
It comes back. And I had a long history of playing very, you know, mellow, quiet music. And it's just a completely different feeling. And I'd finish shows and people would come up and talk to me, and, you know, their compliments I would always be flattered by, but, you know, they would tell me things like, your records have helped me through. I listened to your record when I was getting my last divorce, and it like really helped me through it. Or my father died, and that was your record, or like, was kind of like my rock through that. And that stuff is like very flattering, but in a serial way, the accumulation of that and that being the response to my music, I started to just want something a little bit different, you know? I felt like I'd painted myself into a corner of being like some kind of, you know, prince of darkness or something. And I was like, that's not all me all the time. So I just kind of wanted to show maybe a slightly different, you know, perspective on me and my music and the band and what we can do. Mm. So that's long story short.
So aside from the exchange of energy between you on stage and the audience, that doesn't necessarily happen when you're in a studio recording songs or crafting songs. So is there also an issue of working on songs that are more fun for you to create and play with your bandmates?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, I mean, that energy also translates to what we're doing musically with each other. It's a different feeling than, and, you know, obviously playing more with a band type of situation, we tracked a lot of the record more in a live type of fashion. And so it requires that energy and playing off each other and, you know, interfacing with each other and seeing each other. And prior to that, coming from more of like a multi-tracked way where I'm like a singer-songwriter and I'm like putting down my guitar tracks and then building some accompaniment around it. Even, you know, if you break it down in a granular way, the process of recording it was vastly different in many ways. So.
And where did you make it? You made it at a barn somewhere in Oregon? That couldn't be more stereotypical.
I know. Actually, I didn't even want to put that in the PR. Actually, we sarcastically reference it in the PR because everybody wants to attach to that.
It's a studio that was run by Bicycle Energy, things
we
like
did,
that, right?
Yeah, we did. We did part of it in a barn in Carlton, Oregon, just like some basic tracks. Because it was free and it was, there was no.
Now, what do you mean by a barn? Like literally, like a rundown barn, or like a barn that has been turned into a professional recording?
No,
studio?
it was like a actual barn that we picked because of the acoustics in it were really interesting. It was on Nate Crockett's, our violin player's family's property, and it's a more modern barn, but it was free, and so we did basic tracks out there. I mean, we didn't like light candles and hold hands and try to make it like a cute experience that we were, you know, which is the common conception of that stuff these days is like in Oregon, you know, that's what we're gonna do. But it wasn't. It was actually much more mundane than that and technical.
And is it true that for a while leading up to this record that you actually went on like a world music bender where you were just listening to different kinds of music?
That's true.
Was that to clear your own creative head a bit or?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, in Western music and like contemporary music in general, like pop music or that we think of, like it's really hard for me to listen to that when I'm writing things because it's going to find its way in there somewhere.
Yeah,
it
unintentionally, right?
Pokes in there. But like with world music, it's great because I don't, it's just purely accepting the music for what it is because I oftentimes don't understand how to break down some of the like rhythmic elements of it, or I don't understand what they're saying. So it was like a way for me to like listen to music actively, but not necessarily have much fear of it, like really translating into what I do, you know.
Justin Ringle and Horse Feathers are my guests today live here on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called So It Is With Us. You can get more information on the band at horsefeatherstheband.com. Thanks again for coming by.
Hey,
do we have time to have you play one more?
Absolutely. This last one is off the newest record, and it's called Middle Testament.
If have your tears, please prepare to shed them now. I tell you why, if in train, you show me how to believe. Oh, behold, a love for senseless things. Take your time, hold on, you and sing. Seems to me that your prayers became a vice. Seems to me Jesus Christ is like a knife. He would cut, he would tear. He loved to own your soul. Drink the wine, taste the blood, pay the toll. Thank you. would need. Mary was a lie like a shout, screaming, Mary left just to die to figure it out.
That is Middle Testaments from the new record. It's called So It Is With Us. It's Horse Feathers live here on Jefferson Public Radio. Justin Ringel, Nate Crockett on violin, and Brad Parsons on banjo and harmony vocals. Justin, guys, thanks again for coming by and visiting with us.
Hey, thank you very much for having us.